Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Glad to have you on a Friday, The Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad you are here. Joe's back. Evan's here. Everybody's here. Closing out the week. Bucks and Pistons last night. Bucks get an easy win. Now they got the 76ers coming to town. And if you saw what Joel Embiid said, my assumption is Giannis might have that pinned up in his locker somewhere where Joel Embiid said he's the best player in the world. So I would assume it's going to be a hefty battle when the Bucks take on the 76ers. I'm expecting that. We're also going to talk some college hoops today. Dan Dockage from ESPN, the college basketball analyst, is going to be here. We'll talk with him about the upcoming tournaments, about the Badgers, about Marquette. We'll talk with him about all that kind of good stuff. Ben Fennell from ESPN and the NFL Network going to be here. He'll join us coming up here in a little while. We'll start to talk some Combine, which is right around the corner. Also talk about a little bit about Green Bay Packers. Bucky Brooks, also NFL Network analyst, is going to join us as we continue on because the players and the owners look to be on the cusp of an agreement. And I would assume that the only thing standing in the way at this point is probably going to be a little bit more money. And that's it. But we'll talk about that. Also, Steve Novak is going to be here, co-host of the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, which we've got our Milwaukee Basketball Hour tonight. Dante DiVincenzo is going to be our guest. We're going to be at Concordia University tonight, 6 to 7 o'clock. Looking forward to that. So hope to see you out there as a face in the crowd. We have not been up in that area. So we are really looking forward to a big turnout tonight, a good crowd, lively crowd tonight, as Dante DiVincenzo, the three-point specialist, if you want to call him that, for the Milwaukee Bucks. He's going to be there with us tonight from 6 to 7 o'clock. So we're really looking forward to doing the show over there on campus. And then, I don't know if you happen to hear this, but Jonathan Lucroy, the former Brewer, he speaks out about the Astros in that situation. And David Ortiz. And I can appreciate some of what David Ortiz's thoughts are, but I think he's off base here. I think he's a little off base here. We got some buy or sell coming up. Deontay Wilder fighting. That's coming up as well. And I don't have skin in the game when it comes to boxing anymore because it's really fallen by the wayside. And once they started taking everything to pay television, I kind of went, meh, whatever. It's gone. Don't need it anymore. But Deontay Wilder, just a good guy in general. And we're going to talk about that coming up. And we got a lot more coming up as well. So a lot happening. A lot happening today on the show. So the Bucks and the Pistons go at it last night. The Bucks walk away with a victory. They start off in a positive, which is what you wanted. They got a 20-point win last night. Okay, the Bucks got a 20-point win last night. They came out and emphatically put their stamp on the beginning, the unofficial second half of the season. And that's what you wanted to see this team do. Giannis back 30-plus last night, played extremely well. But that's what you wanted to see the team do. After the last time we saw them play meaningful basketball was a poor performance in Indianapolis. You wanted to see what we saw last night. And you got it. And you got it. You should feel good about it. The Bucks last night played good basketball, team basketball. Everybody seemed to be back with refreshed legs. So it was a good night last night. I was happy about it. Good to see them get the win. Now you got a game up coming up over the weekend. And as a matter of fact, out of these last 27 games, I think now, the Bucks will play a majority of them against teams 500 or better. A majority of them against teams 500 or better. So the next one coming up for the Bucks, the Philadelphia 76ers. And in case you didn't read it, this is going to be interesting because the 76ers, Joel Embiid, he says after putting up 39 and 16 boards to lead the 76ers to the 112-104 overtime win against the Nets, he declared that he is the best player in the world and that aggression with which he played against Brooklyn was a carryover from the way he played in Sunday's All-Star game in Chicago. He says, for sure, the All-Star game was fun. Being there in the fourth quarter doing my thing at the end of the game, I thought it was great. But the All-Star game, just proving I'm here, I belong, and being the best player in the world, I just intend to keep coming out every single night and just play hard and trying to get wins and just trying to go out there and try to win a championship. He has declared himself the best player in the world. I don't even think he's in the top five, to be honest with you. I think Joel Embiid is a quality player. But tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Fiserv Forum, he's going to get his opportunity to put his money where his mouth is. And I don't think he's a top four, top five guy. I think, obviously, there's Giannis and then there's LeBron. After that, you know, I mean, what do you consider to be the best player? Start to go through the list of the best players. I know he's injured right now, but I'd take Steph Curry over Joel Embiid. When you get to the postseason and you talk about the distribution of the basketball and the ability to shoot from the outside and let it fly, he's one of the best. I would not even think for 2 seconds about taking Joel Embiid over, say, a guy like Steph Curry. Go down from there. Who are some of the other best players in the world over Joel Embiid, who goes away a lot? Just goes away a lot. So I think he's good, but I don't think he's great by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, would you consider James Harden to be better than him because James Harden puts up ridiculous numbers? Damian Lillard? Trae Young? You know? No, I don't think Zach LaVine, who puts up good numbers night in and night out, is better than him. But, you know, that's a guy that scores consistently. Does it all over. Probably should have been a legit all-star. You know? Luka Doncic? You know, is he a better player? Russell Westbrook? Anthony Davis? DeMar DeRozan? Brandon Ingram? Come on. Kawhi Leonard? You can go through that whole list. I don't think he's top five, much less the best player in the world. So tomorrow night, you're going to get a chance to let it be known that you don't think he's the best player in the world when he comes to town to the Fiserv Forum and takes on the Milwaukee Bucks. So we got a lot coming up. And then you get to the wind of the story regarding the Milwaukee Brewers and the arbitration hearing for Josh Hader. And I know the local show in Milwaukee was dealing with this towards the end of the program today. I don't know every detail of everything said behind closed doors, but apparently the Brewers brought up some of those tweets from years and years and years ago and in building a case to knock down the salary of Josh Hader. I want to talk about that coming up a little bit later on in the program as well, because if that's the case, that doesn't shine very good on the organization. I have to be honest. You know, I'm all in favor of organizations trying to put the genie back in the bottle, okay? Because I think the numbers have gotten ridiculous when it comes to Major League Baseball salaries. For average players to be making some of the money that they're making, I think And granted, look, players, they can only go out and get what they can get, and I don't begrudge them, but I think owners fell on their heads, and they're their own worst enemy. And I think there has to be, for the good of the game, there has to be a come-to-Jesus meeting between the Players Association and the owners to figure this out. For some of the escalations of salary and the disparity between the small markets and the large markets. However, to do it this way, to try to knock down a salary doing it this way, I think is erroneous. And I think it shows a very unfavorable light on an organization that otherwise has tried to do everything right. And we'll get into that discussion as well. Stay tuned. We got a lot more to get to. Dan Dockich, ESPN college basketball analyst. We're going to talk some college hoops when we come back. This portion of the program brought to you by good friends over there. Quick Trip. They got the Quick Trip loyalty card. Stop in and get it. It's absolutely free. You can download the app on any mobile device you have. You can keep track of your rewards, your points, your money, all that kind of good stuff. Stop in at Quick Trip. It is free. It's fast. And it gets you money back. And don't we all want that? Heck, yes, we do. That is from our good friends over there at Quick Trip. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are on board. Thanks, as always. Hanging out with us, we certainly appreciate it. 855-830-8648. That's the way you can find us over there on the Admirals 50 Talk Line. We are also broadcasting live from the Team Hochberg Studios. Visit my guy David and his team at 56david.com. That is 56david.com. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We bring him in now, Dan Dockich, ESPN college basketball analyst, host on 107.5 The Fan down there in Indy. Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
First and foremost, I got to ask you, because the big doings going on was the return of Bobby Knight. I know you're close down there to that entire organization, Bobby himself. So tell me what it was like to finally see. I don't want to say necessarily that all the olive branches have been bore and everybody's taken the branch, but what is it like to finally have him back and finally kind of get a little peace?
I don't really care. I mean, I don't like the man. I don't respect the man. It didn't make a bit of difference to me whether he came back or didn't come back. In fact, I felt it to be a little ridiculous. I mean, I've always defended him in terms of, if they asked him to leave, he left. Now he came back, and I was actually sad for him. I mean, you know, as much animosity as there is between me and their family, I felt bad for him, and I did hope that he could enjoy the moment, because there was a lot of love there from former players. There was a lot of love there from the fans. And when I saw him, I haven't seen him since back at ESPN one evening on Selection Sunday. So it's been 6-7 years. But I hope that he could enjoy it. I hope that he could understand it. His doctor is my doctor, and I was down in Bloomington a week before, and it's kind of what his doctor said to me. And then when I saw the whole thing, I thought, man, I hope he enjoys it. So, you know, you kind of put your animosity aside, and you see him, and you say, okay, well, I hope he at least had this time to enjoy it.
So let me ask you this, moving into the college basketball side of things, as we get towards tournament time, and I know you pay obviously a close attention to the Big Ten. The question I have is, with all the predictions for all the Big Ten teams that are going to make the tournament, or at least projected to make the tournament, is the Big Ten the strongest conference in the country?
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I think that the top to bottom, yes. I think top to bottom, it is, you know, very strong. But I'll say this, you know, it's kind of weird. When you do games, you got to be careful. Did you catch a team, you know, on a good night? I was doing the Virginia-North Carolina game, and North Carolina's last in the ACC, and I'm watching them play, and I'm like, damn, you know, this team could beat a lot of Big Ten teams, but, you know, that's on a one-night deal. I think consistently, night after night after night, I do think that the Big Ten is the best top to bottom. I think the Big East is really good. I think there's a lot of good leagues. Now, the question is going to become, all right, what happens in the NCAA tournament? You know, Maryland seems to be on the best track to get a great seed. You're looking at the Big 12, and you have number one against number three coming up here on Saturday, you know, game day's there. So you say, all right, well, maybe the Big Ten is the deepest, but at the top is the Big 12 the better league, you know, because, you know, West Virginia's pretty good. I don't know. I really don't. I'm fascinated because I do think there are teams, and I think Penn State is probably one of them. I think that, you know, Maryland, I'm not surprised. Iowa can score in numbers. There's a lot of teams can make the Final Four, but I'm really anxious to see what gets validated as we move into the tournament. I'm also anxious to see, does Maryland hang on here? Because Maryland doesn't have an easy stretch. They've got Ohio State this weekend in Columbus. That's going to be interesting as well. But I would say the Big Ten probably top to bottom, yeah.
We obviously look in our own backyard to Wisconsin, and Wisconsin has had kind of an up-and-down season. They'll go in and they'll beat a couple of top 25 teams and then lose inexplicably at times. They're still pretty good in the Big Ten at 9-6, and they're sitting at number 5 or 6 right now, if I'm not mistaken. But give me your thoughts on the job with Kobe King leaving and the job that Greg Gard has done and the fact that the Badgers have been playing some winning basketball.
Yeah, I think he's done a great job. In fact, the Pikel's been great. Obviously, Chambers has been great, but right behind him, if I'm voting for Coach of the Year, I got to put Greg in there. Now, a lot is yet to be decided. Let's be honest. They do not have the most difficult schedule. Other teams have a more difficult schedule, but just taking Kobe King on the basketball court, practice, that kind of thing, Wisconsin's better. Wisconsin's playing better without him. Happened, but in terms of on the court, they haven't missed a beat. In fact, I would say they've probably been enhanced, and that's interesting. That's a function of two things. That's a function of leadership on the team, which apparently they have, and they have a commitment to the culture of, look, we're at Wisconsin, man. This isn't the 70s and 80s. We're expected to win here and win big. And then the second thing is the coaching. Coach is putting guys in the right positions and players. Different players on different nights kind of stepping up. We saw Pritzel knock in a bunch of threes against Ohio State. To me, I think Greg has done as good a job as anybody in the Big Ten. Pikel's done an amazing job building the program. Pat Chambers has done an amazing job as AD's done an amazing job of letting Pat stay there because it's always been up in the air and Pat's taking advantage, and that's all good. But I don't think anybody's really done a better job than Greg Gard.
In the Big Ten, we always know that you're going to have some mainstays there. You're always going to have Michigan State. Maryland's been a very good team for a long time. It's good to see the resurgence of a team like Penn State, Iowa right there. Tell me about a team like Michigan and obviously Indiana trying to scratch back. Ohio State was tops for a while, then they went through some injury periods. They're starting to climb back out of it.
Well, let's start with Michigan. Michigan figured out that you better be able to guard the post. People were killing them in the post. And now they're doing a much better job of defending the post. Travion Williams had 36 against him. It seemed like every post player in the Big Ten was getting a career high. I think they figured that out. They double a little bit. They're a little more physical on the block. They dig in better. So that's been good. Indiana is a work in progress. Indiana, I live in the state. Against Michigan, I've never been so infuriated as a former player as watching a lack of heart and a lack of commitment on the defensive end as I did in the Indiana-Michigan game, and then they turned around. I thought played really well on the road in almost a must-win for both teams, Minnesota and Indiana, and they ended up beating Indiana. I do think there's a couple of really interesting teams. You mentioned Ohio State. Ohio State, to me, has kind of settled into being who they are, and that's a bit of a front-running team, meaning, man, when they're hitting shots, I think Purdue's like this too. When they're hitting shots, man, they sprint down the floor defensively and offensively. They pile on you. I mean, the wins that Purdue has had at home against Virginia, winning by 28, beating a Michigan State team by 29, routing an Iowa team by 38. They've been offset by scoring only 36 points at Illinois, having a really bad performance last week at Ohio State. It's such a make-or-miss thing with them. Now, I do think that talking about Michigan State, talk about make or misses. When their wings can play, when Michigan State's wings can get the ball in the basket, Michigan State, to me, is as dangerous as any team in the country. Now, I know they started out number one. I caught a lot of hell, as I usually do, from Sparty fans because I said, there's no way this team is the number one team. They can't shoot. They don't have anywhere to throw it in the post. Well, they shoot in spurts. That's good. Tillman has gotten better. That's good. The culture is there. That's great. And Cassius Winston is a terrific closeout the game, play all the way through the game kind of guard. So I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan State made one of those typical runs, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of the teams that we just talked about made a run in the tournament.
Before I let you go, I also got to bring up, I love the fact that the Dayton Flyers are there. I love the fact you got a small team, you got a mid-major that's getting it done, top 10. They got a big one coming up against Baylor. Talk about the small team that is the Dayton Flyers that are making a lot of noise right now.
Well, that's no small program. I mean, that's 16,000 every night. There's a reason that the NCAA plays the first Tuesday in Dayton, because it is Dayton and Omaha, Nebraska are the two best basketball towns that people don't know about. Dayton teams, they win. They always win. And Obi Toppin now has taken them to a level they haven't seen since Don Donaher took them to the Final Four way back in the 60s. Obi Toppin may be the player of the year. They're exciting. E.B. Watson, a kid that played at Michigan, is a scorer for them on the wing. Terrific shooter. One of those guys that really doesn't care. He's just going to play against anybody. This is a legit team. This is a legit Final Four. This is a legit national champion team. But I got to tell you, Bill, man, I coached in the state of Ohio for 10 years mm-hmm. as the head coach at Bowling Green. Dayton's no mid-major. Dayton's no joke, man. They have everything available to them. Crowds are incredible. History is there. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, does Obi Toppin, Garza, who ends up being a player of the year, because I think it'd be very cool if we had a player of the year from somebody not named Duke or somebody not named Carolina or somebody that nobody ever heard of. You know, I think it'd be great.
I agree with you. Look, when I worked at WOW down in Cincinnati, that was a hotbed. I mean, you guys at Bowling
right.
Green, you had Indiana we talked about, you had Miami of Ohio, Ohio State, UC, Xavier, Lexington down in Lexington right. in Kentucky, and Louisville. Oh, my God, it's a hotbed for college hoops. Dan, it's always a pleasure, my friend. I love talking to you, and I'd love to get you back during the tournament, buddy. I appreciate it, okay?
Of course, man. Anytime, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Dan Dockett, a guy that never, never pulls punches. Never. That's why I love listening to him. Like he said, you know, didn't begrudge Bobby Knight coming back. Didn't have a lot to say to the man, but the state of Indiana seemed to be okay. Dan was very honest about it and takes a lot of heat for it. But I love the fact that he just doesn't pull any punches, man. That's Dan Dockett, ESPN college basketball analyst. Also, he's a host on 107.5 The Fan down there in Indianapolis, which Indianapolis, between Indianapolis, Kansas, North Carolina, all that kind of stuff, that's kind of basketball. That's college basketball at its best. So there you go. Dan joins us, by the way, on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show, we're on the air. We are glad you are here. Yes, we are on this Friday. Hopefully you're enjoying your Friday. It's going to warm up a little bit. Anytime you can say warm up and it's going to get to just above freezing, that's not a bad day at the office, if you know what I mean. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Van Horn Automotive. I was out with them last night, as a matter of fact. They donated some money to charity. We were at the Sheboygan Gala Awards last night, the Champions Awards. It was a great night. I can't say thanks enough to them, our friends at Road America, and everybody up in that area for being there. But Van Horn Automotive Group did a nice thing last night. I've said for a while, this is an employee-owned dealership. They do so many great things for the community. They don't just sell cars. They sell service, and they sell themselves, and they're all over the state of Wisconsin, but they're the people that I were with last night, they're based out of Sheboygan. Had a great time, so thanks to Crystal and everybody, and Teresa Van Horn, everybody for having me there last night. I so appreciate it. Had a fun time, but go to VanHornAuto.com, VanHornAuto.com. They're great people to work with, great people to deal with. Make sure you give them a call, because give them the opportunity to earn your business. They are family-born, but they are employee-owned. Everybody's got skin in the game. Good, 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 good people. That is VanHornAuto.com. Again, VanHornAuto.com. Joining us now from ESPN and the NFL Network, from the NFL Network, I should say, ESPN and the NFL Network, Ben Fennell is joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Ben, how you doing, buddy?
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood out here in South Jersey. Not quite golfing weather, but still pleasant weather for late February. you have any snow on the ground out there by you?
We do. We have quite a bit, and I'm not liking it. Hopefully it's gone here in the next 5-6 days.
Well, hopefully that sun is at least shining on your face.
The
today.
Sun is nice today. Day. Yes, it is. Hey, we got the combine and the draft right around the corner. We're going to start looking at all the analytics. Everybody talks about the depth of draft when it comes to wide receiver. God knows the Green Bay Packers could use another wide receiver or two. I would expect them maybe to go out and get themselves a veteran as well to help out the other side of Davante Adams and not have to worry about the learning curve of a young cat coming in. But when you look at this, tell me, first of all, how deep you think this draft is when it comes to the wide receiver position.
Well, I think at this point in mid-February, we're less than a week away to the combine. I'm not breaking any news. This is a legendary draft as far as the receiver class goes. All sorts of shapes, sizes, abilities, skill sets at every level of the draft, too. It's top-heavy. There's some day-two talent. There's some back-end developmental talent. And there's going to be a handful of undrafted guys that are going to contribute to roster. So not exactly breaking any news with the receiver class this year.
The Packers need help in many different areas. The one thing that I find, they say they need middle linebacking help and coverage help. And I think a lot of teams do, but that was something that was very much exposed this past season yet again. For as good as Blake Martinez is, he's not a coverage guy. So my question becomes, is there a linebacker that is capable of coming in and just being that guy? Because to me, much like the wide receiver position, that's not an easy position to just fall butt backwards into and suddenly take over coming right out of college. You got to have some developmental skills there. And I don't know if they have time for a learning curve. So unless there's a guy there that you're going to say, yeah, that's the guy, that's another area they may need to dip into free agency.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in that position in Mike Pettine's defense is a mentally taxing position. He does not come off the field. He calls the defense. He's the nucleus of the defense. But he's not the star of the defense. He's not the playmaker of the defense. And that's what this team really needs. And I think the first question that people's mind comes when you want to project a new linebacker is, can he cover? What can he do in the pass game? But we really need to think about what Mike Pettine asked Blake Martinez to do, because Blake Martinez doesn't cover a whole lot. He's not asked to turn or run quite a bit. He's really that middle of the defense, kind of the robber, kind of the QB spy. And he really just plugs it. He's a C-ball, get-ball, kind of a middle-of-the-field player. So if you have a more explosive athlete in that position, a long-legged, rangy, explosive speed, someone who makes plays on the ball, that gets there violently, like a Kenneth Murray, like a Malik Harrison out of Ohio State, a Patrick Queen, even a Marcus Bailey out of Purdue, guys that are running 4-5 and get there in a hurry and with some violence. And I just think you need more of a playmaker in that nucleus to the defense. Blake Martinez is a good player, a reliable player, a smart player, but I think you just need somebody in that core to make more of an impact.
There has been minimal speculation about the quarterback position. And we know that Aaron Rodgers is signed for a long time. He's going to make a lot of money. But this year, statistically speaking, and you look at some of the numbers, it wasn't an Aaron Rodgers-esque type of year. I say give the guy more talent around him, and you're going to see the old Aaron Rodgers come back, or at least a very good portion thereof. Some say, look, he's fallen off the table. It's 37 years old. That's the time that guys start to, kind of just to disintegrate before our very eyes. People are saying you need to get a quarterback. You tell me.
Well, I'm a believer of the Ron Wolf philosophy of you take a quarterback every draft you get, and you always work behind the scenes on developing talent behind your quarterback room so that's your backup, your practice squad. And I know the new CBA has really kind of handcuffed teams' ability to develop those guys. But I'm a believer you take a quarterback every draft, whether it's on day three or an undrafted guy. So if a good value player falls to them, I'm not saying in round one, but maybe on day two or day three, I'm not opposed to always looking to the future and relying on depth because it's always going to be tested. And if Aaron Rodgers goes down, that's not an excuse to just throw away the season. And we've seen that before with, the Brett Hundleys of the world. We've also seen guys like Nick Foles come in and hold the ship and win a Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles. So injuries are not an excuse, but if you can surround Aaron Rodgers with more talent, I think that's the name of the game. But it's just figuring out exactly what type of talent does this Packers offense need. And I think there's three different elements of receivers that they're really missing. They need that quarterback's best friend. Who's going to make the tough junk catches for you down by your ankles, the ones that are thrown behind you? Those drops we saw from Geronimo Allison this year were absolutely brutal. So if you could get a Devin Duvernay from Texas or a Justin Jefferson from LSU, a sure-handed slot receiver that can go and make those tough catches, I think those are the types of presences you need in the offense, in addition to a yards-after-catch presence, whether that's a Henry Ruggs or a K.J. Hill or a Laviska Shenault out of Colorado, and then somebody with just threatening speed. When you get on the field, all the safeties are saying, alert, alert, alert.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive coordinators are pulling their hair out in the middle of the week trying to prepare for this guy. And whether that's a Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State, Jalen Reagor, K.J. Hamler, I think you just need a threatening presence to this offense. So I think if you can surround Aaron Rodgers with more talent, more ability, more easy offense, I can legitimately say I could see Aaron Rodgers playing until he's 45 years old.
Well, here's my next question, because obviously they have to worry about that right tackle position. By the way, we're talking with our buddy Ben Fennell from ESPN and the NFL Network draft analyst. So if, let's just say, I'm not saying, say, T. Higgins is going to be there, but let's say he falls, and then also you get, say, that defensive tackle, Ross Blaylock, maybe he's there. You get a couple of guys, because God knows they need either an inside linebacker. They also need to figure out the right tackle position, because we're not quite sure what they're going to do with Brian Bulaga. I think I would pay him to bring him back because he had a good season, but you don't know what you have behind him. So if you have that level of talent, is there a target, as somebody who studies the draft, that you would say, this is your biggest need, or this is the best player available, this is where you have to go?
My very loose framework for this draft is get an explosive elite linebacker in round one at all costs. If you have to trade up, great. And then the rest of the draft, I want two receivers and I want two tackles. And I think just as much as the receiver group is stealing the attention, this is a really deep tackle group. And you don't have to go after those top guys like the Aaron Drew Thomas and Austin Jackson and Jedrick Wills are all going to go in round one. But you start looking on day two and day three, there is talent up and down this draft at tackle at every level of the draft, whether that's Ezra Cleveland at Boise State, Shadeek Charles at LSU, Jack Driscoll at Auburn, Akeem Adeniji at Kansas. There's a lot of interesting talent. I'm not really sure where the pecking order is right now, or if they're – some guys are going to get kind of pushed down because of those skilled players on day two. But there's a lot of interesting talent, and I would really like to see the Packers walk out of this draft with two interesting tackles to plug behind Bakhtiari and obviously the Bulaga situation at right tackle.
Tell me about Kenneth Murray. That's the other guy that I've got a lot of interest in, the inside linebacker coming out of Oklahoma.
Oh, I thought you never asked. This guy is an absolute, absolute animal. Oh, man, watching this guy in pregame, he wears a neck roll. He's big. He's broad. He's 6'3", 245. I did his Kansas game this year, and he was doing laps around the field pregame, and one of the Kansas players tried to trip him in pregame warmups. He is an absolute animal, and this is the last guy you want to piss off. And he gets through the ball carrier in a hurry with a bad attitude. He's a playmaker. He's rangy. He's long. He's explosive. He is just an intimidating presence. Now, the big question with him is third down. He does not go backwards. He does not turn and run. He does not cover. But he's a QB spy. He's a blitzer. He's a sub rusher. He's a guy that you want going forward, see ball, get ball. And I think that's exactly what this Packers defense could use right in the middle of the defense for Mike Benton.
That's the guy that I've been kind of eyeballing for a while. So I'm glad you're on the same page with me, man. I appreciate the time, as always. Thanks for joining us for a couple of minutes, Ben. And I'm sure as the draft gets here, maybe even after the fact, we'll get you back on and we'll talk a little bit more about it, okay?
Absolutely. This is the time of the year where the gift keeps on giving.
So yes, it does.
I want to talk draft with you.
Yes, it does. Ben, appreciate it. We'll talk to you later, okay? There you go. That is Ben Fennell, ESPN NFL Network draft analyst. You can get him at @BenFennell_NFL, @BenFennell_NFL. You can read his stuff there, see his stuff there as well. When we come back, the NFL and the NFLPA, how close are they? Oh, my goodness. And by the way, Ben joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. But you can't do anything if you don't call. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you're going to do something tonight, or maybe this weekend, maybe you're heading down to the Fiserv Forum, you have got to stop in and see my buddy Gino over there at San Giorgio, which is the home, in case you didn't know, the Bill Michaels Pizza. Now, you can always go over to Calderon Club and you also ask Alex. You say, I want the Bill Michaels. And Alex will say, Ciao Bella. And he'll get it for you. And it's fantastic. And you'll go face first. You don't even eat it. You just take it home, smear all over yourself, and call it a great experience. It's just that good. But stop in, tell them we said hi. Gino and the whole staff down there are just fantastic people. They really take care of you. Or when you go in and get the Bill Michaels pizza, it's in Giorgio. You say hi to Joe Martino if he's there from Point Brewing up in Stevens Point. But you can get, and they pair it up with, Cider Boys from Point Brewing. So great to have both of them on board and helping us head out to spring training out in Phoenix, Arizona, and also down to Super Bowl. But San Giorgio, Calderon Club, Point Beer, all that stuff, great stuff. And we can't say thanks enough to them for being a part of the program. The NFL and the NFLPA, how close are they? We're going to talk about it when we come back right after this in the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We're back. Glad you are back as well. Thanks, as always, for joining us. The Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. Thanks, in part, to our sponsor, Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders as well, down to the south. If you have, and you're listening to us down in Chicago, any of the issues, you can call the one number. One number is 414-455-4451, 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. Call the medical experts, whether it's for ED, which, by the way, they have a 98% success rate at treating guys, all but guaranteeing a cure. Then there's the all-in-one weight loss program, which, yeah, that works. That's absolutely fantastic. Just stick to it, man. It's like water coming off. It's fantastic. But then there's the low-T treatments. If you're over the age of 30, it takes you maybe 10, 15 minutes. Stop in, get your numbers checked, and they'll let you know. And if you're low, they've got treatment plans for everybody. It really does. It changes your life in the sense of you sleep better at night, you feel more refreshed and rested during the day, you have more energy, more mental clarity, more stamina, better mood. I mean, it just affects a lot of things. So I've encouraged you for a long, long, long time to stop in or to call. Just call the medical experts. Get some information. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything for a phone call, does it? 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. So the NFL and the NFLPA, they're close. How close? I don't want to really speculate because you never know. You never know what could throw a monkey wrench in a whole deal. But the owners last night accepted the negotiated terms of a newly proposed collective bargaining agreement, sending the vote over to the players ahead of a potential agreement between the sides. All 32 owners met last night in New York for an update on the current proposal. Three-fourths of the owners had approved the CBA and said, let's send it out to be ratified. Let's do this. Some owners were not unanimous in their approval, but nevertheless, there was enough there for the owners to send it over to the player side. The membership voted today to accept the negotiated terms on the principal elements in the new collective bargaining agreement. The Players Association would also need to vote to approve the same terms for there to be a new agreement, since the clubs and the players need to have a system in place and know the rules on both sides that they will operate under by next week. The membership also approved moving forward under the final year of the 2011 CBA if the players decide not to approve the negotiated terms. In other words, there's not going to be a work stoppage a year early, okay? Out of respect for the process and our partners at the NFLPA, we will have no further comment at this time, according to the NFL. Now, the NFLPA team player reps and the executive council, which had been planning a Friday meeting anyway, they're in Washington, D.C. They're now planning to hold a conference call today to have everybody chat, all the figureheads chat. And that call could result in a vote on whether to approve the owner's offer or reject it. Now, if two-thirds of the NFLPA players approve the deal, it would then move on to the next stage, in which all NFL players would then vote, and a simple majority would be required to approve the new deal. So they're close. How close, we'll wait and see. But some of the proposals that are key that the player reps and the union executive council will weigh in on when they meet, the elimination of any game suspension strictly for positive marijuana tests. So in other words, you do a little weed, you're not going to get suspended for it, you get fined. A reduction in the number of players subjected to testing for pot. pot is becoming legal in many different places. So if it's legal, then why are we banning it? And many, many, many players after the NFL career has come to an end have swore by the effects in helping them with pain and certain things within their body. Alterations to training camp, including the introduction to a 5-day acclimation period, a limit of 16 days in pads, and a limit of 4 joint practices in a 3 preseason game scenario. So the joint practices could be eliminated or made to be a minimum, and again, going all out, pads, hitting, all that kind of stuff, they're going to eliminate that as well. So there you go. Teams would also be allowed to bring back 3 players from the injured reserve each season because they would be extending the season. Basically, they would get that 17-game season. One of the NFL's best players, Houston Texans defensive end J.J. Watt, took to social media last night and voiced his disapproval. He said a hard no on the proposed CBA. So we'll see what the players say before it's all said and done. Sources said that starting the 2020, the playoff field will be expanded to 7 teams from each conference, and only 1 team from each conference would receive a first-round bye, and opposed to the 2 that currently do. And we know that they would add an additional team, which this year it would have put Pittsburgh and the Rams in the postseason. And if you go back over the last decade, no team with a losing record would have ended up in the postseason. So it's not watering it down to where you're letting sub-500 teams suddenly into the postseason. It makes things a little bit more exciting. It gives another team's players the chance to make postseason money. It does reward the top teams in each conference, but it's also an extra game. You know, and a guy like J.J. Watt's been banged up his entire career. Now they're wanting to add another game to that. So maybe that's what he is objecting to. I don't know. But some players are saying they love it. Bring it on. Other players are saying, nope, you are not going to add another game to us. It's just not going to happen. So we'll see what happens before it's all said and done. But at least it seems like the owners and the players are at least closer to getting an agreement done. Closer to getting an agreement done. So there you have it. 1 hour down and a whole lot more to go. We're going to go to the NFL Network analyst. Bucky Brooks is going to join us. Then we're going to talk some Bucks basketball. Steve Novak, co-host of the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Steve and I are going to be at Concordia University tonight. I know parking's going to be tight and seats are going to be tight. Bringing Dante DiVincenzo with us this evening. Looking forward to a very special broadcast from Concordia University, 6 to 7 tonight on many of these same stations. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.